Can we start with your mother? Is that?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It kind of, it go is, ahead. You know, yeah. You've got the Persephone Demeter thing, yes. Right in the title, the hologram,
yes.
Reference.
Yes. My mother died of ovarian cancer, and she was 42 when she died, and she left 5 children, the ages ranging from 12 to 19, and families don't always do too well when mothers die. And nobody knew at the time that there was a genetic component to women's cancers. And it wasn't until the mid-90s that medical science moved on to identify the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes as involved in the development of these kinds of cancers.
And you knew that you had the genetic... What do you call it?
Mutation. Yeah, you call it a... What the scientists call it is a deleterious mutation. So basically, the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes seem to work to suppress rogue cells, where cells have copied themselves and made errors in DNA. And normally, our bodies work to clear up those errors. And in women with a mutation... and men, because men can also carry this mutation, these mutations, in people with a mutation of the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, the mechanism to clear up the faulty cells isn't working properly. And basically those cells with the faulty DNA go on to replicate and cause tumors. And I learned that I had tested positive for a mutation on the BRCA1 gene in February 2005 because of another relative, a cousin, who had developed early-stage breast cancer at the same age as my mother was when she died. Basically, with women who carry a mutation on the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, one of the signs, or the smoking gun, if you look at the family history, is women developing breast or ovarian cancer at a young age, because these cancers tend to strike younger than they would with normal women.
At the same time you were going for a regular BRCA check.
Yes.
You did a breast exam and felt something kind of,
yes,
odd.
Yes, that's right. So I had made a very painful decision to have my ovaries removed because, sadly, when you discover that you have tested positive for mutation of the BRCA1 or BRCA2 gene, the geneticists explain to you that you have this very high chance of developing breast or ovarian cancer over your life. And the only serious way of reducing your risk dramatically is removal of the tissue that might develop cancer. I'd made the decision to remove my ovaries because I'd watched my own mother die of ovarian cancer, because although I went and talked to quite a number of ovarian cancer specialists, and there was no reliable screening test for ovarian cancer, and because my children were very little, and I didn't see that I had the right, really, to not to do that surgery. But I fled from the whole idea of bilateral mastectomy in horror. I just left that, and I thought I would be safe having regular mammograms. So that's what we did. We did regular mammograms, and it was when I was reporting to the genetics clinic on my annual checkup that I did a self-examination and found a lump in my left breast, and we went from there. I had breast cancer.
We are a breast-obsessed culture.
Yes, we are a breast-obsessed culture. And it's very hard. I mean, I think when I was reacting to the situation that I was in, I mean, part of that reaction was the complete horror, you know, as a woman with the idea of that that solution. I mean, it reduces your risk of developing breast cancer by 90%. So it was a serious risk reduction strategy to have prophylactic mastectomies. But my mind fled from it in complete horror. And certainly it isn't easy, but nowadays, you know, reconstructive surgery has moved on, and you can have breast reconstructions that go some way towards replacing your breasts. I mean, it's not the same as having your own breasts. I miss my breasts, but it's not the end of the world. It's something that you can survive.
I've heard some people say... cancer is the best thing that ever happened to them, mm-hmm. And then I've heard someone on the radio say, that's total crap, it's a horrible, horrible thing, shut up. Are you thinking somewhere in between?
Yes, I am somewhere in between. I would definitely rather, I couldn't possibly wish that that had ever happened to me. And if you asked me to repeat any of it, I would start a run a marathon with no problem whatsoever. But there are some things that it helps you with. So one of the things that happened to me is that I became very focused. It was like a white light of clarity about what I wanted to do with my life. So when I was diagnosed, I wasn't very happy in my work. I'd been wanting to change for a long time, but we needed the money, so I didn't make a tough decision. When I was diagnosed, it was very clear to me that I just wanted to look after my children, myself, and then I made a decision to write a book, even though, you know, I didn't know what would come of it. And things like that are very clarifying. And you lose fear in a way. I mean, probably I would never have written about the things that I've written or taken the journey that I've taken without getting cancer. I wouldn't be sitting here in Toronto talking to you. It's strange. You know, it in a way, it liberates you from caution, prudence, ways that you might have been living a sort of life more like a mouse down a sock, you know, according to your fears rather than what you might do or what you might achieve. And in that way, it can blast out some dust. But that's the merit of it. Apart from that, it's just hell, and I wouldn't recommend it.
The book is Eating Pomegranates, a memoir of mothers, daughters, and the breast cancer gene. I've been speaking with the author, Sarah Gabriel, and Eating Pomegranates, published by Bond Street Books, distributed in Canada by Doubleday.